After the El Paso shootings, one U.S. cybersecurity firm takes a stand, but will it make any difference? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, a major day of disruption in Hong Kong as protesters step up their efforts in trying to get the government to ditch a controversial extradition law. Hong Kong's leader has warned that the city is on the verge of a very dangerous situation with more than 14,000 people vowing to join the strike. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell has more from the city.
Hundreds of flights have been delayed or cancelled, with chaotic scenes on rail lines here as protesters stand in train doors, at times grinding the system to a halt. The airport link has been suspended altogether. Pro-democracy activists had called for a widespread strike today, and virtually all parts of Hong Kong have been affected by it. Cross-harbour tunnels have been blocked for the third day in a row, and businesses of all sizes have chosen to remain closed today as staff call in sick in support of the strike action. Hong Kong's leader, Carrie Lam, who's hardly been seen in public over recent weeks, held a press conference. She blamed demonstrators for the political crisis, now heading into its third month, said she would not resign, and vowed to restore order to Hong Kong. The chief executive rejected calls for an independent inquiry into police actions here, saying that there's already an internal investigation underway and that police are under a lot of pressure.
Stephen McDonnell there. Let's do the numbers. Hong Kong's Hang Seng was down nearly 3% today, while China's currency dropped to its lowest level against the dollar in more than a decade as hope for a quick resolution to the trade war fades. And shares of HSBC dropped 2% after the surprise departure of its chief executive, only 18 months in the role. Reports suggest the shakeup is due to reports that internal emails from HSBC helped the U.S. government lodge an extradition request for Huawei's chief financial officer, who's still being held in Canada. Now, a major development in India this morning could change the face of its only Muslim-majority state. New Delhi has announced plans to revoke the special status that governs the disputed Indian-administered territory of Kashmir, which is claimed by both India and Pakistan. The BBC's Nitin Srivastava in Delhi has more.
Kashmir has seen a lot of troop movement, a lot of army presence in the last 1 week. Telephone, internet services have been suspended for the last 24 hours. The situation has been of utmost panic. Because this is also a big pilgrimage site for Hindu tourists, and tens and thousands of them were actually on their way to visit the shrine when the government gave this order asking them to leave the Kashmir state immediately. That triggered panic, tickets being sold at least 10 times the prices, shortage of aircrafts, shortage of seats on passenger trains.
What are the potential implications of what the government has now announced?
So basically, the Indian government has revoked the special status which this state in India enjoyed. And Kashmir is the only state in India which had this special status. Of course, it's the only Muslim majority region in the country. People from other parts of India were not allowed to buy in property in Kashmir. They were not allowed to start in their own independent businesses. Basically, the government wants to scrap the financial aid which has been given to Kashmiris over the last more than 50 years. They say that they want to amalgamate Kashmir in the Indian fabric. But the contention of Kashmiris over the years has been that the Indian governments have never done enough for Kashmir to be a part of India. And that's what the dispute has been.
Nitin Srivastava. Now, as mourners pay tribute to the victims of the shootings in El Paso and Dayton, a San Francisco-based firm that provided cybersecurity for 8chan, the site where the suspected El Paso shooter published a racist manifesto, says it's withdrawn its protection today. Cloudflare CEO Matthew Prince announced the news in a blog post. Emily Taylor at the London-based think tank Chatham House says blaming internet companies is like blaming a rail company for being used by the perpetrator of a violent crime.
Well, you can see from Matthew Prince's blog how tortured the whole question is. The infrastructure providers have always been reluctant to get drawn into issues of content, because once you start to go there, it's very difficult to draw the line and stop. But there are some things, not just public opinion, but any human would be revolted. And the El Paso shootings, and particularly it seems from Matthew Prince's statement that, you know, there were links you know, glorifying the Christchurch massacres and so on, and that has sort of crossed a line. We saw after Charlottesville that companies like Cloudflare got a lot of heat on Twitter from members of the public who are like, why are you providing services to these sort of people? And so this really is the dilemma that infrastructure providers have.
Now, what difference will this make ultimately? Because there are already reports that a company called BitMitigate in Washington State is going to move in and help 8chan.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the issues, is that Cloudflare are not the only show in town. We saw last month, when Cloudflare had an outage, thousands of sites went down. And so one of the things that we are worried about is that this distributed system that is the internet is actually moving into the hands of a very small number of players, not just at the sort of the major applications that we're all familiar with, but right down into the pipes, into the infrastructure. And when that happens, if one of those companies fails or decides that you are no longer the sort of person that they want to provide services to, you are effectively taken offline. And you can see from Matthew Prince's statement that he's aware of that and that he's uncomfortable with that role. But as happens so often with the internet, it moves so quickly, companies have to step out of their comfort zone and do things that seem right at the time and then pick up the pieces afterwards.
That's international security expert Emily Taylor. And in London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.